Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you all here. And boy, it's good that the temperatures are back up in the double digits and a little higher. Now, somebody would probably listen to what I just said and said, are you crazy? It's 38 degrees outside and it's cold. Well, it's better than 8 degrees or minus 8. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. And verse 3, and I'd like to ask you to stand when you get to that place, please. Oh, I know, Patty. You can stay seated if you need to. Okay. All right. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your word today. God, your word gives life. It gives us power. It gives us the strength to press on and live every day. And Father, we are definitely in a time where we need for you to give us a drink of the water that we'll never thirst again. Father, we're asking and praying, dear God, for spiritual renewal. We're asking again for revival. And Lord God, as I preach this message today, let everything come from your Holy Spirit that we hear. And Lord, nothing from my words or my thoughts or flesh. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. And you know, we are definitely living in a time right now. I've heard it said for years, and probably a lot of you heard it maybe back in the 1950s and 60s, you've probably heard people say, well, I've never seen times as bad as they are right now. And today, that's what we still say it today, don't we? Back in the 1950s, somebody was saying, boy, gasoline sure is high. Boy, the cost of cars sure is sky high. You can't hardly make ends meet. And in 2024, people are saying, boy, gas still is high and cars are expensive. Of course, cars are too expensive. But really, we are in a time, though, where things are really increased in what's going on. And if we take a step back and look at what's going on in the world, well, we know that Jesus said we would have tribulation. And why do we have the things going on in the world today? It's because of man's sin. Man chose to sin, and Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and the devil has been at work ever since then to destroy mankind and to keep us away from God. That's basically what it is. And the devil uses so many events and things going on in the world today to try and cripple us, to try to keep us buckled down in fear. And it has resulted in so many Christians' lives being pushed to a place where they're no longer praying. They're no longer at the altars, at the invitation call. Nobody is praying in their homes like they used to. And when we go to church to sing, we no longer have the joy and the song in our heart. When we lift up praises to God, people have gotten weary. People have gotten so afraid that they've let the devil keep them in a place to where they would want to remain quiet. And what has happened over the years as this has continued on, and I don't want to call it a tradition, it's a curse. It is a curse that has come straight from the pits of hell, and it is affecting every Christian's life in some way, form, or fashion. Now, I do know a lot of Christians who have a faith that nothing stops them. I mean, they're like a freight train, and they just keep going, and they're going to bust through anything that the devil puts in their path. But what has happened in our land today is we have brought ourselves into what's called a spiritual drought. That's why we are seeing our churches folding quicker and quicker. That's why we are seeing pastors leaving the pulpit and leaving the call of God that's been placed upon their life, because they have tried to take everything upon their own shoulders. We as a church have gotten to a place where we've basically said, Lord, we will handle it. We'll do it our way. And guess what's happened? We have pushed God out of our church. We've pushed God out of our life. And now here we are at what I call in the middle of a spiritual desert. It's unpleasant. It's frustrating. It makes us very uncomfortable. And when we've put ourselves in this place, we tend to lift our heads toward heaven and we say, God, why? What have you done to us? And the entire time, it hasn't been God, because the Bible says that God is good. And God is good all the time. God doesn't know evil. God is not going to pour bad things out upon His children. But you know what God wants us to do through the difficult things that we go through? God wants us to turn to Him in everything. We need to be the kind of people again that when we come to church, we have a smile on our face and we have the song back in our heart. We have joy within our life. Could you imagine if a lost person sat outside the door of every church on Sunday and looked upon the faces of the people as they walked out? And could you imagine if a lost person saw people whose corners of their mouths have basically dropped down to their shoes because they wear a frown upon their face? They've just been to church, but they look like they came out of going through the worst traumatic event of their time. And I'm saying this because it is truth today. God has been dealing with my heart, because you know what? I feel like for some time, the sermons have really lacked. I mean, I've preached the Lord's Word, but you know what? I kind of noticed that I started to lose a lot of the joy that I used to have in preaching the Word. I used to get up in the pulpit on fire for the Lord. And I noticed that fire just started to wane down. And that when there's an altar call, there is nobody coming forward. And you know what? And it doesn't come from the preacher in the pulpit. It has to come from God the Father, and we have to allow it to absorb us, and we've got to allow it to go out into the world. We've been called to be a light in a dark world. And if we're not being a light, and we tell people we're Christians and they're seeing it, guess what? They're not going to be changed. They're not going to be influenced to want to go to church and eventually receive Christ as Lord and Savior in their life. But we have gotten to a point where our spiritual lives are dry and barren. And according to Scripture this morning, the Lord says that He will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. Now, if you've noticed, this past year of 2023, we've had a drought. Everything was dying. The ground was hard and parched. There was cracks in the soil. And people were going outside and complaining, man, it's hot. Boy, we wish we had rain. And the crops were dying prematurely. Things were not looking good. The rivers and the lakes were drying up. And people were starting to worry and complain about what are we going to do? That's what we need to be asking ourselves today in our spiritual life. We're dry, Lord. How do I take care of it? Father, I need you to send a rain upon my life because I no longer want to live a dry spiritual life. I want people to see what you are pouring out into me. I want to be the person to make a difference. I want to be the one who's a world changer, a life changer. Well, Jesus is the life changer. I want to be the influence, though, that brings somebody to the life changer. We need to have a flood in so many of our churches today. I remember when we would have church services when I was a kid, and everybody stood up, and everybody sang with a boldness, and everybody was glad and joyful. And when people walked out of the church house, they were hugging, they were smiling, they were testifying of what the Lord had done. And now you know what we see today? People look at, dude, I wonder if he's about done. Boy, my belly sure is hungry. I can't wait to get lunch. Or, well, I've got a bill to pay this afternoon. You know, we get our minds in every other place. When we come into God's house, our minds are supposed to be stayed upon the Lord, always. God should always be first and foremost in our life. If God is first in our life, guess what? It's going to show. It's going to show in the way that you walk. It's going to show in the way that you talk. It's going to show in the way that you act. It's going to show in the way that you treat other people. But if we choose to be the kind of Christian people that are living in a spiritual drought, you know what's going to happen? We're going to quit witnessing to others about Jesus. We're going to quit having joy in our song and hymnal time. There's not going to be really much effectiveness in our prayers. Used to, I think our prayers did at one time come from the heart. Well, I mean, when I pray, I try to pray from the heart, not up here. Man, this place up here is a battleground. I don't want my prayers coming from what I think. I want my prayers to come out of my heart and out of my spirit because I want God to know that I need Him. I want Him to move in my life. That I want things to be different. I want to see a change happen. Now you know and I know that nothing grows on dry ground. You could walk out there to any field and you could throw seeds all over it and it never would receive water. You know what will happen? Nothing. And you know what people do today in their lives? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, they go and throw seeds out there, but the seeds never get taken care of. And they don't grow. And because of that, there's a lack of love. There's a lack of spiritual blessings. John 15, 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So what's God called us to be? He's called us to be fruit bearers. He has called us to bring in a harvest. Now, you know that the farmers put the seed out every year. It gets watered. They spray for weeds and pests and all that stuff. And then at that time of the year comes that they go out and bring in a nice harvest from the work that they've done. And I really believe that we are at a time that we could see a harvest come back to our churches. We could see our church houses filled, but we have got to be the ones who go out with compassion, and we have got to be the ones that go out and plant seeds in the lives of those who are dry and barren. But if we are dry and barren, and we go to somebody else who's like that, nothing's ever going to happen. Because they're going to see in us a lack of faith, a lack of wanting to serve the Lord. If I stood up here and preached a sermon, and I, you know, if I didn't pray and ask God for a sermon, and if I just got up here and did whatever, would you be fed? Probably not. You would be going, golly, I wonder when he's going to be done this morning. I would like to go have dinner. Boy, this is really pretty boring. And I've been in some churches like that. And you know, there have been times in my life where I got too busy doing everything else for, you know, that the church needed done. And I let this go by the wayside a little too much. And then I got in the pulpit. You know what I did? I tripped over my own two spiritual feet and fell flat on my face. It would have been better that I would have never even gotten in the pulpit those mornings that that happened. So my prayer has to be, God, let me be the example. The church's prayer needs to be, God, let me be an example. Let my life show what you have done. I mean, the Bible tells us how to live by the Spirit. Love. Have joy. Let a smile be on your face. Don't look like you've been baptized in a dill pickle barrel. Don't look like you just had a spoonful of cod liver oil. I mean, that stuff's nasty. I'd have a frown on my face. But that's not what you receive from God. You don't receive bad things from the Lord. But you know what happens a lot of time? We put limitations on God. That's exactly what we do. Well, you know what? This is how much I want God to have this part of my life. And you know what happens? God steps out. And God backs up. And you know what happens? A drought starts to happen. If we don't pray enough, if we don't witness enough, if we don't love enough, if we don't tell people about Jesus, if we don't read our Bibles, we will continue to go down. And you know what happens through a real bad drought? Things die. Now, if Jesus died on a cross and shed His blood for our sins, and He rose from the dead on the third day, and He's alive, and we proclaim that, then what should happen from there? Our life should show it. My life should show it. I've said this before. I'm not responsible for Milton's joy. I can't call Milton and say, hey, Milton, now remember, be joyful today. Hey, Milton, remember to read your Bible. Hey, Milton, remember to pray. Hey, Milton, remember to go and tell these people about Jesus. I'm not, and he's not responsible for calling me to tell me to be in a good mood or the same thing. Now, preacher, make sure you study that sermon this week. That's not his responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure that I am walking tightly with the Lord. When we are walking with Christ, the disciples walk with Christ, and they got to experience so many blessings. Boy, I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to have been a disciple and walk with Jesus. You know, I remember years back when I was a kid, I thought it was the greatest thing to go see a celebrity. And you know, when I was growing up, well, I grew up watching Porter Wagoner Show, and Speck Rhodes and Dolly Parton was on there, and they always had good country guests. Well, when I was a little kid, Porter Wagoner came to our town, along with Dolly Parton and Speck Rhodes and some others. And boy, I tell you what, I was so excited because Dad was taking us to go see Porter Wagoner. I was beyond, and now Dad was a policeman in the town we were in, and he was doing security as well. And after the show was over, Dad took us up on stage, and we got to go right back behind stage. And I remember standing there as a kid. There stood Porter Wagoner in that multi-million dollar suit. Man, them things sparkled. Wagon wheels and horseshoes and all that. Rhinestone cowboy he was. And there stood Speck Rhodes and Dolly Parton. And boy, I thought, boy, this is exciting. I get to see, and boy, I'd tell my friends, boy, I went to the concert last night, and this is who I saw. Man, it was exciting. You know what now? I look at people like that today and go, they're just a human. You know who I should be excited about? Jesus. He's the one who died for me on the cross. He's the one that forgave me of my sins. He's the one that made it possible for me to go to heaven. So I don't need to be starstruck. I need to be Jesus struck. I need to be excited saying, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be right there with Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk like He talks, and I want to act like He acts. And I want to love others like He loves them. That's what I want in my life. Because if I have that, I've got everything I'll ever need. I've got Jesus. Now, it was a little exciting here a while back, sometime in 2000, I want to say, I think it was 2018, we know Tim Lovelace, and Tim Lovelace is a Christian comedian who's traveled with the Gaithers, and he's got albums out and stuff. And well, we got in a hold of Tim, and I called him, and I said, "Hey, buddy," I said, and see now other people look at him and go, "Oh boy, he's a superstar." No, he's not. He's a human, and he'll tell you that too. But we had such a time with him this one night. He came to the church to sing and to tell some funny Christian stories as a minister of encouragement. But we went out to dinner that night before. We took him out for supper, and he got in the car. We went down the restaurant, and we were sitting in the restaurant, and I got the biggest kick out of people who come in. People come in, they're going, "Oh my goodness, that's Tim Lovelace. Oh, we've seen your posters all around town. Oh, this is exciting." And Tim said, "I'm just Tim." He said, "I want you to come to church tonight, and I want you to hear Jesus." And that really impacted me. I thought, boy, we need to be God's humble people. When we're humble, when we're obedient, when we're open to what God wants to do, when we pray every day and say, "Father, send us a rain. Flood my soul." Jesus told the woman at the well, you could drink from this water, but you'll be thirsty again. But I'm going to give you a drink of water." And Jesus told her, "You'll never thirst again." Jesus was talking that He would touch her life in such a way she would never have want or desire of anything of the world again. So as God's people, we need to quit desiring the things of the world, and we need to start desiring the things of God again. We need to quit walking in fear. We need to make up our minds when we get up of a morning that today I'm walking in the power of God Almighty, and I'm going to be that train speeding down the tracks of life, and God is in front of me, and His strength is going before me, and if the devil puts something on those tracks, we're going right through it. That's exactly the kind of people we need to be today if we are going to see change. But if we continue to let a spiritual drought happen, we will die a very slow, painful death. And we will stand before the Lord and we'll answer for the things we did and also the things we didn't do. We get into this condition by being uncaring, by being indifferent, unconcerned. We become useless, we have no purpose, and we just think, whatever. And that's kind of where we've gotten today. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See, we need to be the kind of Christian people that we chase after God. That we say, Lord, I thirst for You. There's another psalm that David wrote, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for You, Lord. That's what we need to be saying every day. Lord, help me to love that person. Lord, help me. Because you know what? We were just talking about that this morning. And boy, I am guilty. I am so guilty. Sometimes I grip my teeth around certain folks, but I just say, Lord, give me the grace. Lord, give me the strength just to make it through this moment. And help me, God, to love them. I know they're different, but help me to love them, Lord. Because when we do that, we're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see change. We're going to see things happen. But we need to be the kind of people that we need to be getting back on our faces at the altar before the Lord, saying, God, pour Your Spirit out upon our church. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon my life. Renew me and let the floods overtake me. Because if the Lord floods your life with His rain, you're not going to drown.